Praised be the names of Jesus and Mary, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters in Christ, we adore God for the gift of St. Thomas the Apostle. Jesus Christ, our Saviour, said to Thomas in today's Gospel, "Be no longer doubting, but believe." These divine words echo down from our Lord to each and every one of us today, and through all the ages of time. Thomas, which is Didymus in Greek, is best known from the account of chapter 20 of St. John's Gospel, from which he got the nickname Doubting Thomas. Following the ascension, scripture is silent on what happened to Thomas, but tradition maintains that he founded churches in Mesopotamia, Ethiopia, and especially in India. The Christian community in India is known as the St. Thomas Christians, and their tradition is that he died a martyr's death there. St. Gregory the Great comments, quote, "Surely you do not think that it was a pure accident that the chosen disciple was missing," end quote, when Jesus first entered the cenacle. It was no accident, no. God arranged it so. Being absent when Jesus visited the other disciples, and upon hearing of Christ's appearance to them, he said, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Because of that one incident, he will forever bear that nickname, Doubting. The apostles must have been assailed with doubts and temptations about our Lord 2,000 years ago, about this man that they had given their life to. They knew him to be a worker of miracles, multiplying food and healing the sick, raising the dead, but surely they thought if he was the Son of God, he would not have allowed himself to be brutally humiliated, tortured, and killed. Most of the apostles we know were scandalized by the cross. Most of the apostles were not there at the foot of the cross, only St. John. This image of Thomas, one of the 12, who despite having been told that Jesus would rise again after his death, could not bring himself to believe that without proof. What can we learn today, brothers and sisters in Christ, from this doubting, which we have at all times in our faith? We live in times of doubt. Christians are being killed and persecuted, do you know, in many areas of the globe. The reality of fake news makes us sceptical about the truth across all topics, whether they are cultural, political, scientific or religious. We are still reeling today over the priest sexual abuse scandal. The priest sexual abuse scandal in all parts of the church, even ascending all the way to the higher levels of the hierarchy of the Catholic Church. There appears to be two camps within the Catholic Church, those who follow the truth, Jesus Christ, and those who have lost faith in our Saviour and are propagating all kinds of confusion for the faithful. Confusion, we know, is one of the main weapons of the devil, whereas we expect and are due clarity in the Catholic doctrine to confirm us in our faith. We live in a time of scepticism and doubt and in an epoch of little faith. What was St. Thomas doubting, we can ask ourselves? Perhaps he doubted that Christ would, after all, fulfill the promises that he had made. Perhaps he even doubted that Christ was ever who he had claimed to be in the first place. Are we not facing these same temptations today? We are presently watching the mystical body of Christ after Amazon Synod and the Church endure her own passion and crucifixion. How can this happen, we ask? If this was really the Church of the Son of God, why doesn't he take her down from the cross and save her? Didn't he promise us that the gates of hell would not prevail? About the present crisis in the church, then, we really can't do anything but to pray to suffer with the church on her Good Friday, to proclaim the truth courageously and with love and charity, and to put on sackcloth and ashes as those in the days of Nineveh. The rest we have to leave to the Lord, and he will surely intervene, because it is his church and not ours. We have to accept the Golgotha hours of the church and suffer with her and trust in divine intervention. For many of us, this answer seems woefully insufficient. Like Thomas, we struggle to accept what happened at Golgotha and our powerlessness before such a tragedy. Archbishop Vigano, this week in his recent letter to defend the co-redemption of Mary, said, "We are living in a time when we see, quote, a Catholic Church that is no longer Catholic, a container emptied of its authentic content," end quote. We wait then for the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. Only divine intervention can restore the sound doctrine of the fallen Church. We look around also at our world today and see the consequence of this unbelief in Jesus, and that it has formed a deluge of sin in the world. Are we not surrounded by doubt in this crazy world of ours? Is there any object truth anymore if the truth is different for different people? No more is there a fixed truth, brothers and sisters in Christ, but now in the world of what we call situation ethics, the subject and the circumstances dictate the truth. The truth then becomes something that we feel in this age of sentimentalism. This is the age of nonsense, the age of nonsense, a nonsense which paves the gateway to hell for many lost souls, where everybody wants to get along together and be nice to each other. It is not politically correct to interfere into someone's space, they say, in the world, and tell them the truth. This is unkind, they say, and would offend people. To be nice, however, is good in itself, but when it is not aligned to the truth, Jesus Christ, then this nice can also pave the way to the eternal fires of hell. The truth hurts, but it must be spoken. This doubting and turn against God has led to the age of the culture of death in which we live now. Not only do we see the horrific sinful consequences of the abominations of contraception, abortion, divorce, euthanasia, homosexuality, same-sex marriage, pornography, LGBT ideology, stem cell destruction, etc., 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 but to make matters worse, the silence of the leaders of the Catholic Church, those whose office it is to guide us in the truth, has been deafening. Oh, please, Lord, raise up for us now holy and courageous prophets like John the Baptist and Catherine of Siena to speak the truth for the salvation of souls. In such an age of pessimism, it could be easy to lose hope. However, we are encouraged to trust our faith, to be loyal to our faith, and have the courage to continue in our own personal Christian journey towards holiness and sanctity. This is the model that St. Thomas gave us. In the gloom of dashed hope, doubt and scepticism, he remained loyal and moved forward to bravely evangelize the faith, especially in India. While Thomas expressed doubt when confronted with the resurrected Jesus, he strongly expressed his faith fully with this statement, "My Lord and my God," and his doubt disappeared. This is what we should say, dear brothers and sisters, in the Holy Mass, the prayer par excellence, especially during the canon when the priest lifts up the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus, "My Lord and my God, I believe, help my unbelief." He who had been believing, Thomas, after touching the flesh of Jesus, saw then the twofold nature and the one person of Christ. He saw the man, but confessed the God. This is the mystery of our faith. It is clear that once his skepticism had allayed, he never doubted our Lord again and spent the rest of his life evangelizing and ended up being martyred for his faith. He is the model now of perseverance for overcoming the weaknesses that can be associated with doubt and to push forward with renewed faith. This is what we should be celebrating today on his wonderful feast day in preparation for the coming of baby Jesus in the manger this week, so that one day we will too see the resurrected Lord with the Blessed Virgin Mary and spend the rest of eternity glorifying God for ever and ever. Amen. Praise be the names of Jesus and Mary, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.